I'm still here.
All right.
You're still here. Woo! Woo! Yes! All the stuff you've been through, you still here. Yeah. All the lies that might have been told, are you still here? All the lies you told, you still here. Yeah. You're still here. And as long as you're still here, you can get there, wherever you're there may be.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
I fought a good fight, Paul said. All right, look, being offended, if not properly dealt with, how many of you know how you deal with offense? When somebody rub you the wrong way, when somebody mistreat you, mishandle you, or abuse you in some way, when someone is unkind to you for no reason, how do you handle when you're offended? What do you do when you're offended? See, if you don't know how to do that, see, offense will take you out of your love walk and move you into another arena of strife and confusion and debate and darkness. Because where there's envy and strife, there's what? There's confusion and what? Every evil work. See, the devil having a heyday then. If he can get you offended, I'm going to tell you, he can push you far away from your destiny. Because the number one thing in your destiny with God is loving people. Your number one assignment as a believer is to love people. And if he can get you offended and cause you to be offended because you've been mistreated or mishandled, then he'll take you right out of your destiny by getting you out of your love walk. Yeah. So how do you handle offense? You handle offense through forgiveness. You handle offense through the blood of Jesus. You got to forgive people that do you wrong. You can't walk around holding grudges. See, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy by causing you to lose your focus. When you lose your focus, you have confused priorities, and you follow after the wrong thing that will keep you in strife and unforgiveness. And Jesus said, love your enemies, pray for those that despitefully use you. That's part of your love walk. Amen? Amen. So a wrong focus, wrong priorities, wrong pursuit, and a wrong way of life lead to destruction, heartache, and unfulfilled purpose. When these are out of alignment, when your focus, your priorities, your pursuit, and the way you're living your life are out of alignment, then a spirit of error is at work in your life, blinding you to the truth that you should be living by. This is serious business. So when we're fighting a good fight of faith, if you're not fighting a good fight of faith, that means you've laid down your weapons and you're just going with the flow. You're not offering resistance. Because I'm going to tell you, to do God's will, you're going to face resistance and opposition. But if you ain't got no opposition and you're just going with the flow, then you're not fighting at all. There's a fight to faith. There's a fight to stay on course. Because the devil's always pushing and shoving. If he can't stop you, then he push you too far. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Fight. I'm going to challenge you today. Fight the good fight of faith. If you're not fighting the good fight of faith, pick your sword back up again. Pick up the word of God again. Pick up your prayer life. Get back in the fight. Amen. Start resisting the devil. Submit yourself to God and resist the devil. Too many people just going along with the devil. Not resisting him at all. Just letting him have a heyday. Amen. Then Paul said this, I finished my course. That means he had an assigned course. And then he said, I finished my course. That means you have a course. Have you started the course God designed for you to finish? Did you start out on a path? Are you going to finish the course that God set in front of you? Amen. Jesus finished his course. The Bible said, for the joy that was set before him. See, God will always, listen, everything I'm telling you is really important. God will set some things out in front of you to give you a goal, an aim, an objective of where you're supposed to be, to keep you on course so that you're not easily distracted. When I worked at the paper mill, about 25, 26 years old, I knew in my heart, just by spending time with God, not anything that I did, you know, I'm not taking no credit, no glory for it, but I'm telling you, Christ will give you light. If you spend time with him, he's going to give you light. He's going to give you revelation about your life so that your life is not a total mystery. I knew at 25, 26 that I wouldn't be at the paper mill beyond 35, 36. I knew about the season. I ain't going to be here. Something going to happen. A major transition is coming. And I didn't know what the transition was, but I had discerned the time and the season. And when I got to that place, I was in early morning prayer one morning. Three or four people there. And we're in a big sanctuary and we're just walking and praying. And then I heard these words. You're going to reap from the fields from which you're sowing. And then the Lord began to talk to me about prayer. He said, ask, seek, and knock. He said, prayer is the place where you receive what you've been asking for, where you find what you've been looking for, and where things open up for you. He says, so expect every time you come and pray that you're gonna receive something, find something, or something gonna open up. Yeah. Glory to God. So then I'm walking, I'm praying, I'm trying to process all of this. I'm gonna reap from the fields from which I've sown. So I started looking, what fields I'm sowing in? At that time, me and CeCe sowing into like, I don't know, 10 different ministries. We've got seed going all over the world and in our local church. I said, well, I'm sowing seed here. I'm sowing seed around the world. Maybe God's going to release me to be an evangelist or something because I didn't want to come work at the church. That wasn't even, you know, I just discounted that. I said, well, no, I don't want to do it. It can't be that. You know, God's going to send me out, release me. I'm going to be an evangelist or something. I'm going to be a traveling teacher or something. And then as I'm praying, as I'm walking and praying and I'm trying to process all this, he said this, you just entered your last year at International Paper. Do a good job. Hallelujah. God got a plan for your life. All the setbacks, all the hurts, all the pains, all the disappointments, all the times you messed up. Let me tell you, he done figured all that into the plan. He remembered that with dust. You know what I'm talking about? That we got a flesh. Yeah. So all those times we get out and we mess up and we, you know, fool around and not do the right thing and we create problems and we just have trouble. I'm going to tell you, he done calculated all that in there. Amen. All you got to do is say, Jesus, put me back in the plan today. And I'm going to tell you everything. Back in the plan. He said, all right, we done took all that into consideration. All the times you messed up. All right, now don't look back at that. Now let's go ahead. Let's go forward from right here where you are today. I don't care. You might have got off course. I'm going to tell you, he can put you back on course just like that, with a consecration from your heart, with a determination in your heart to say, I'm going to do God's will. He put you right back in the plan. There ain't no probation period. Well, I'm going to see if you're serious. He already know whether you're serious or not. He ain't got to test you like that. You might go through a test for you to discover what's in your own heart. God already know your heart. Paul said, I finished my course. Have you started the course God designed for you to finish? Are you on the right course? Have you identified your course? Amen. Your course is the plan and purpose that God has for your life. He planned a good life, an abundant life. Your course is the reason you were born and why you're here now. Why are you in Alexandria? There's a reason why you're in this city. Or whatever city you're from, there's a reason why you're there. Amen. Discover the reason. You ain't supposed to just go through life not knowing why you're here. You should have a determined purpose that you know the benefit of me knowing that a change is coming from this place in about 10 years or 9 years, 8 years, 7 years, 5 years, that when headhunters, these are people that recruit other people from companies, when they start coming offering you, because when you got 3 to 5 years experience, I'm going to tell you, they want you because they don't have to train you. So you get phone calls all the time. It's coming. It's just everybody know it happens. Your boss know it happened. He get them. He even getting calls. I got a job opportunity over here. Pay you this much money. Be a promotion for you. This company looking for somebody with your skills. I can make it really good for you. And all these things start pulling on you. All right. If you start looking at the money, then you could leave your purpose. Okay? But no, wait a minute. God showed me something here. God sent me here. He never told me to leave. I better keep my little behind where I'm at. I don't care if they offer me $1 million a year. I'd rather be in the will of God than have somebody give me $1 million. I'm going to tell you, do you $1 million will destroy you outside the will of God? Be the worst thing ever happened to you. I'd rather get it with God. Anything you can get out there in the world that Satan will offer you, God will give it to you for serving him. Listen, Satan offered Jesus all the kingdoms of this world, didn't he? And Jesus said, no deal. No. I don't want your stuff. And then we read over in Hebrews, it says the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. He got it anyway. He got it anyway in the will of God. If you don't know why you're here, you will never know when you have crossed the finish line of life. It is so important for you to know what God has destined you to become and to do. He is the only one that can reveal your purpose. You have to seek him to get it, but he does not want you to go through life not knowing why you were born. Do you need to make some course adjustments today? Time is too valuable for you to waste. Let me think about it for a week. Well, you just lost a week. See, you lost time right there trying to make a decision. When the decision is obvious, I want to be in the will of God. I'm getting there. I'm rededicating myself to God's purpose. In a race, you're measured by time. Now, we take our time and we measure it against other people's time. But when you race, they don't measure you by the time the other guy finish. Everybody got a watch on them. You have your own individual time. You're running against the clock. Everybody running against the clock. And then they compare and see who had the fastest time. That's the one that win in a race. But the real adversary is time. Or really not an adversary. You know, the time is not your adversary. Time is a blessing to you. I shouldn't say it that way. But I'm just going to tell you that your life is measured by what you do with the time that you've been given. Whether you live long or short is irrelevant. It's whether or not you fulfill your purpose. Now, I believe the promise with long life I'll satisfy him and show him my salvation. I believe that's a promise of Jesus, but he only lived 33 years. So it's not how long you live on life. It's how well you fulfill the course. It's how well you finish the plan that God had for you. Now, he did. It didn't take his long because he didn't mess around. Jesus wasn't wasting time. He had them boys so busy they ain't even had time to eat sometimes. You find this in the scripture. Said they didn't even have time to eat. 3 days went by, they ain't had time to eat. They working, they serving, they helping, they being a blessing. And then Jesus had to say, now look, y'all don't work hard. Come away a while. Let's go get refreshed. And let's go rest a while. Let's go to a private place. You guys have really been after. You know what? He's taking advantage of the time. Jesus said the night come when no man can work. He said you had to take advantage. The night is when you close your eyes. When you close your eyes, when death comes, ain't no more work, no. Ain't no more work then. You got to work while your eyes is open, while you are breathing, while you are alive. Amen. 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 Finish the course. Make it your aim to finish today. Amen. Amen. Then Paul said, I have kept the faith. In other words, the New Living Translation said, I have remained faithful. I have remained faithful. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my race. I remained faithful. I kept the faith. Do you have a firm grip on your faith? Do you know what you believe and why? How are you going to respond when your faith is challenged? Because our faith is being challenged every day in the courts of public opinion, even in the courtroom. Our faith is on the line. What we believe and what we believe the will of God is being challenged on every front. We are living in a critical time that if you don't get this in order, then you're going to fall away. You will fall from grace if you don't get this right. I'm talking about living for God, being committed to the purpose that God gave you. Look at what Paul said in verse 3. He said, the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. People believe in all kinds of stuff today. They believe in all kind of crazy stuff. I mean crazy. Let me tell you, crazy faith. Crazy beliefs. I'm going to put it in words that I understand. And I hope that it helps you. I ain't going to take nothing from the scripture, but I'm going to say the same thing. I'm just going to say it in a way we would talk today, okay? The time will come when people will not endure, will not tolerate or put up with sound doctrine or truthful teaching and instruction. People are not going to put up with it. They're not going to tolerate it. They say, no, you can't believe that. But having itching ears for something pleasing, gratifying, and in agreement with their own desires, they will gather to themselves many, a great number of teachers who will preach what they want to hear, in order to hold on to their erroneous ways. So what they'll do, they'll surround themselves with people that believe like they believe, people that's teaching what they teach, so that they don't have to change, so they can hold on to that error. He said, the time is coming. And he didn't finish. He said, these people will stop listening and reject the truth and will turn away their ears from hearing the truth and will turn to fables, myths, and man-made fictions. This time we're living in. So now it's high time to get our house in order, to get your life in order, and to get serious about your relationship with Jesus. You see, living for God is more than about singing a beautiful song. Right? You know, we all like how to sound some music. They got them drums going. Got good sound. But what you going to do when you walk out of here? How you going to live when you leave these doors here? Are you going to praise him in your house? You going to praise him in your car? Or you going to close your door at your office and say, let me sit down here and let me have a little time here with the Lord? Glory to God. Are you going to take a lunch break and say, let me get off by myself for lunch? Well, it pays off in revelation and light and understanding what his will is. You spend time with him, he's going to talk to you. You say, Jesus, I'm here. I just want to get away. I only got but 30 minutes, but I'm here. I just want to love on you and just thank you for being good to me. And I got my Bible here. I'm reading, Lord. Just show me something. He starts showing you more than you asking for. And it's all good. God can show you things about your life because he don't want you living off course. Amen. Are you faithful to the purpose that God has for your life? Paul said, I have kept the faith. Are you going to keep it? Or are you going to turn from the faith? Are you going to turn from what you believe and start believing these fables? How do you be faithful to the purpose of God? Paul, at one time in his life, had the wrong focus, the wrong pursuit, wrong priorities, and the wrong way of living. But he made a course adjustment. He's made course adjustments all along the way, beginning on the road to Damascus. His whole life changed. He got out of the old race and entered a new race, one designed specifically for him. Paul took some baby steps and made some decisions along the way that brought him to a place where he could say boldly at the end of his life, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Amen. You will have to do the same thing. And we can all learn from the Apostle Paul on what to do to finish our race. He made Jesus his focus. He made Jesus his priority. He made Jesus his pursuit. He made his life all about Jesus. He lived a Christ-centered life. He made Christ's desires his own desires. He made his life revolve around what God wanted him to do. He just wanted to do what was pleasing to the Lord. He died to his own desires. And he made it all about what was pleasing to God. And that's the same thing Jesus did. Jesus said, I only do what pleases my Father. I only say what I hear him saying. You got to make your life around Jesus. You build a life around him. And Paul did that. And then he gave us some keys. Here's some keys. In Philippians 3, 10 to 15, he said, this one thing I do. He gave us about four things he did. You take all of those things together, and you got the one thing he did. And this is what we got to do and what I'm going to challenge you to do today. In Philippians chapter 3, he said, I have not apprehended. I count myself not to have apprehended. In other words, number one, he had a humble attitude toward his human accomplishments. He wasn't seeking the glory of men. He was seeking only the glory that came from God. He said, I'm educated. I'm smart. I'm of the stock of Israel. He said, but I count all that nothing. He said, that's not important to me anymore. So those things that were at one time real important, it was important for him to be real educated, for him to study. And he never stopped studying. But those things took a back seat to him knowing who Jesus really is and knowing his purpose in life. He said, I count those things but rubbish. He said, I haven't apprehended. So no matter how great, no matter how many accolades are put on you, you got to know that it's all because of the glory of God. It's all for his glory. Amen. Amen. So don't get the big head. Amen. Don't live your life with the big head about how great you are. Amen. Ain't but one great, and it's Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So live your life humbly and just thank God for the blessing that's in your life. If you got a talent or a skill, if you can do something better than somebody, just thank God for it. But don't get puffed up over it. Anything you got can be lost through pride. Pride go before destruction. So Paul maintained a humble attitude toward his earthly achievements. He put them in the proper perspective. None of the things we achieve in life can compare to knowing Jesus and being in the center of his will. Number two, Paul said, I forget the past. Forgetting the past. You can't live your life in yesterday. Now is precious. Live in the now. You can't live in the past. I can't go back and redo yesterday. right? If I messed up yesterday, I just messed up, okay? But I can't go back and change it. All I can do is get it under the blood, right? Whatever mistakes I've made, whatever regrets I have about what I shoulda, woulda, coulda, listen, I'm not going to dwell on that, because if I do, then I'm taking my focus to the wrong place, to my past. And now, if you do that, then you can't see where you're going. You lost your priority. All that stuff started getting out of whack when you're living in the past. When you're always talking about what so-and-so did to you and what you should have did and what they did and how they hindered you and how they didn't help you and how, you know, always blaming somebody else. You can't live back there. Just start where you are today and say, okay, Lord, here we go. I'm concerned about my now. God always ministers to you in the now of your life. He always ministers to you where you are right now. He take right now, where you at? Where you at now in your heart? Do you want me with all your heart? Okay, you got me. Where you at right now? He'll deal with you right now. Now's the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. See, he says right in the moment is now. What you gonna do now? What you do now determines what your future is going to be. Amen? So you had to forget the past. And then number three, he said, reaching forth for the future that has been revealed to you. Your present and your future have to be more important to you than your past. It is what I do now that counts and determines what will happen in my future. You can right the wrongs of yesterday today through true repentance and faith in God. I can right the wrongs of yesterday. If I messed up yesterday, I know how to get them right. I can repent, and I can put my faith back in the Lord and say, okay, Lord, let's go from here. So whatever I've done is under the blood. Hey, I'm ready. I'm on board right now. Let's go. I'm refocusing. I'm reprioritizing. I'm shifting my pursuit back to what I should be running after. Hallelujah. If you can't see your future now, learn to live in the moment of obedience. You say, well, Pastor, I don't see nothing out front. I can't see what I'm supposed to be doing. Then learn how to live in the moment of obedience. In the moment of obedience now, then your path and your future will become brighter and brighter. Many times God will give you a mental picture of you doing something. You will see yourself doing something that is pleasing to God and a blessing to others. So don't hesitate or delay to obey. Just do what you see yourself doing, as long as it does not contradict the word of God or the character of Christ. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I don't really see nothing. All right, then, live in the moment. Obey right now. What's he telling you to do right now? All right, you say, well, what's he telling me to do right now? He's telling you to love everybody. He's telling you to release anybody that's wronged you, hurt you, forgive. He's telling you to do that right now. So I start right now. And then sometimes God will show you. You'll see yourself doing something. Like sometimes you can see yourself giving something to somebody, blessing them. And you saw yourself doing that. And you say, yeah, but that's going to cost $50. I ain't doing that. All right. See, he could have showed you something that he wants you to do right then. Go spend that $50. If he told you to do it, do it. Right? So you learn to live in the moment. What do I do next? As I do that, step by step, step by step, step by step, step by step, then my path will get brighter and brighter. And I'll begin to see more and more of what I'm supposed to be doing. Amen. And how I'm supposed to be living my life. Amen. I know I'm supposed to love everybody. There's some things just given. I know I'm supposed to read my Bible every day. I know I should talk to God every day. That's your starting point. So you don't have a reason not to start over if you done messed up. Amen. Amen. You get back in the plan and say, okay, here, Lord, I'll start from scratch. Here we go. Teach me the word. Then make some solid commitments about what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. Paul made some solid commitments. He said, listen, forgetting the past, that's a commitment. I'm not going to let my past be a hindrance to my future. I'm reaching forth to what's in front of me. That means I'm going to live in the moment, and God's going to show me what I need to be doing. Then Paul said this, I press toward the mark. The mark is the goal. It is the finish line. It is the distant mark in the future. It is something that you look at that's ahead of you. Paul said, I'm pressing toward the mark, the finish.